What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast,
bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Okay, folks, we have the South region to go into, and quite frankly, this is one of the most lopsided regions in terms of what they do versus what they don't do, because there's not a ton of quality things to say, so let's get right down to it. Outside of the top two seeds, we have major glaring holes in basically every other team in this region. So Houston's the overall number one. They have one of, and I honestly say they rank second, but I honestly think they're first. Like, Houston's defense is stifling, to say the least. All the things I say about San Diego State, Houston's better at, and they're still more talented. So, Houston, if you like San Diego State making runs, Houston's the squad that could actually go to the Final Four, and is one of the least picked teams for the Final Four amongst the number one seeds. Like, kind of looking at the public perception of picks, it looks as though Houston is going to be the least ranked team selected by the public to make the Final Four. Number one's Connecticut, with good reason. Number two is Purdue. We already talked about like the issues with Purdue glaringly. Like, Purdue should be ranked fourth. Point blank, like, too many people are picking Purdue. I'm trying to warn people off of Purdue, but I don't think it's working. Three is North Carolina, and four is Houston. Basically, the other number one seeds are in the 40% range of picks in terms of valuation. We're seeing UConn being picked by the public closer to 60%. You know, in terms of Vegas odds, no one, not even UConn's being picked at an odds of higher than 50%. So, yes, there's overvaluation on UConn. But I kind of talked about this already, that realistically, most of these brackets, if we're trying to pin down to get down to the perfect bracket, you're gonna miss, because you're going to have to try to pick more upsets. But realistically, no one has ever gotten a perfect bracket. It's a 1 in a trillion chance of doing it, and my math may still be off even with that calculation, because even with the permutations needed, you should still be looking at number one picks more often than not, and it still goes unheralded based on the size of the pool. That too many folks bypass number one seed picks for what they select instead. Houston in this region is the clear one. The number two is still number two in Marquette. Yes, Houston and Marquette both have injury issues. It's a more glaring absence for Marquette, given that Tyler Kolek is one of the most versatile players in the league and is an elite ball handler in terms of passing the ball and getting out to folks. So, realistically, Kolek is a very much sorely missed individual on that Marquette squad. What Marquette and Houston do quite well, again, forced turnovers, excellent defensive clubs. And because of the fact that they can both, and I would say Marquette, significantly better offensive squad than Houston. Houston can sometimes struggle to score, but, you know, the issue is Houston gets off their shots. It's just that they're not a very good shooting team in general. But because of the fact that they are able to hold other teams under 50%, force turnovers, and get easy buckets, yes, jump shooting-wise, Houston's going to have droughts. And when they have droughts, that's when Houston can kind of get in trouble. But because of the fact that they match up well against big clubs, small clubs, clubs that play slow, clubs that play fast, they find ways of winning games. It's just that it's going to look closer to 60 to 49 or 58, 52. You're not getting a 20-point blowout with Houston. That's what you're going to have to live with. With Marquette, based on how they've played this year, when they don't shoot well, they can still find ways of shutting teams down defensively. And again, ball handling-wise, I don't have concerns about Marquette. Shooting-wise, I feel more confident with Marquette than I do Houston at times. That's why this is one of those regions where if the teams were more balanced, I wouldn't have as many issues. But when I look at the 3, 4, and 5 seeds, there's so many glaring issues between Kentucky, Duke, and Wisconsin. But to summarize it, Kentucky's the best of the three. None of these teams can play a lick of defense. Kentucky can't play defense, Duke can't play defense, and this ain't your daddy's Badgers club because Bo Ryan's long gone. The Badgers play no defense. It is what it is. It's like the Badgers were, I think the stat was they were ranked 300th in field goal percentage defense. Like, realistically, they were giving up almost 40% from three-point range and allowing 52% shooting from the field. Like, the Badgers give up so many easy shots that they could get knocked off by JMU, and I can't even say it's an upset. Like, the problem is that, you know, it's just the fact that they can't play defense. You know, Vermont versus Duke. Do I love Vermont? No, but man, if they hit shots, Duke does not know how to like play any defense. Like, they're, if you want to build squads for upsets, like, again, I think the double-digit seeds aren't necessarily good enough to get there, but it's kind of rough. It's like, I don't, like, Vermont over Duke is the most likely of the upsets that could happen. Vermont being the 13th seed. Because Vermont can actually play defense, and if Duke has a lousy shooting game, they're going to get beat. Because of the fact that they can't play defense. Vermont's going to get good looks against Duke all game long. It's just a matter of, can Vermont make it enough of a miserable good game for Phil Bukowski to score for Duke? Because if Phil Bukowski gets off for Duke, Vermont's dead in water. But athletically, if they can stay in front, make it difficult shots for Duke, Vermont could beat Duke. Oakland plays a lot of matchup zone, and so that can give Kentucky some difficult looks. But at the end of the day, this is one of those games where, and I kind of gave out the bets pick, I would rather bet the spread on Oakland versus them actually winning the game. I think this is one of those games that stays tight until late in the second half, and then Kentucky pulls away. That's where I kind of view Oakland. And then, as I said, with James Madison, Vermont plays no defense. James Madison doesn't play any defense either. It's just going to be chucking the ball and who hits more shots. Is that, like, in terms of exciting games, like, that's actually going to be one of the more exciting games of the tournament, which most people thinking about Wisconsin basketball are going to be like, why would I want to watch Wisconsin basketball the way Wisconsin plays? It's not the Wisconsin teams you're used to. They play up and down. So does James Madison. That could be a very entertaining game to look at. That could be down to the wire. That being said, when we start looking at squads that have some balance to them, you're having to like search hard, because Texas Tech is not balanced. They play defense. They struggle scoring big time. You know, I talked about San Diego State scoring droughts. Texas Tech is worse. They do struggle at times. And, you know, it's not that they can't shoot the ball. They do shoot threes at a decent clip, but they don't necessarily play fast. They don't necessarily play force a ton of turnovers. Like, the issue with Texas Tech is the fact that, you know, they're not big. They're solid. But solid doesn't win you many games in the NCAA tournament. It's actually one of the issues that I think NC State can pull off the upset against Texas Tech, in that, you know, NC State had to run the gauntlet in the ACC tournament, which was a funny stat because they had to win 5 games in the ACC tournament to get into the dance, and, you know, they pulled up the stat that NC State had won more games than the Washington Wizards did in their home arena for the month of March, which is the truth. But it's just, again, NC State plays no defense. The issue that I think Texas Tech can run into is the fact that NC State can throw bigs in the post. And that might be enough to get NC State past Texas Tech if Texas Tech struggles scoring in spurts, which is what they do at points in time. It's like, you know, I don't love the upset pick, but this is one where I at least have to consider it. But, man, it's like this region just has such lousy defense that, you know, you have to account for potential scenarios of how these games could play out, because realistically, you know, outside of Marquette and Houston, there's just not a lot here. You know, it's going to come down to, you know, we'll talk about Florida, actually, because, you know, Florida is in the exact same mix of all these teams. They play no defense. I know I sound like a broken record every time I say they play no defense. Literally, these, like, they put all the teams that couldn't guard a chair in the same region and thought this was, like, the committee just basically made, you know, the South region is essentially like AAU basketball. Because, like, there's just, and then there's Houston. Like, it doesn't even make sense. Houston's one of the best defensive teams, surrounded by teams that can't play defense. You know, again, I know Houston has injuries, but realistically, the only team that can play defense against them that would actually pose a problem is the fact that, you know, realistically, I think it's going to end up having to be, like, A&M. Like, I, you know, A&M basically is the only team in this region outside of Marquette that can play defense. I know Nebraska, you know, doesn't have bad defensive stats. It, you know, they're solid, but realistically, part of the issue is that Nebraska non-conference schedule was bottom 30 in the entire NCAA. Like, they were 322nd in the country in non-conference. They played no one. They got dusted by Creighton. You know, they don't rebound well. They don't play well on the road. Like Nebraska, you know, like, people keep saying this, like, Nebraska's a trendy pick to upset Houston. And I don't see it. I don't see. If anything, it's A&M, Texas A&M, that would be the team capable of upsetting Houston. It's just the fact that what Houston does, I mean, what Texas A&M does, Houston does better. Like, Texas A&M struggles scoring. So, realistically, even with Houston struggles scoring, Texas A&M also struggles in offensive efficiency. So, Houston just does everything Texas A&M does, but better. But I do think A&M has enough to get past Nebraska. But, you know, outside of A&M, no one plays defense in this region. It's just, you know, even the play-in game between Boise State and Colorado as the 10 seeds, neither of these teams are very, like, world beaters in terms of defense. Like, this region, legitimately, as boring as it sounds, I think it's a two-team region between Houston and Marquette. I don't really see either of these teams losing to the squads because of the holes in the squads themselves. Again, they play better. Houston and Marquette play better teams in their own conference than any of the teams that they are seeing in their bracket. Like, that's the truth of the matter. The teams in their bracket are worse than the teams they play in their conference all year long, that they've were pretty much dominant at. I don't, you know, it's just, I can't say it any clearer than that. I know folks want to pick Kentucky. Great. But Coach Cal doesn't make defensive adjustments in-game. And truth be told, if he matches up against Marquette or Houston, he's going to have to find some way. And again, Kentucky always has NBA talent. It's not a talent issue. It's a style issue. It's like, in terms of the X's and O's, what can Kentucky... Because Kentucky's the only team talented enough that can overcome their overall deficiencies to knock off Marquette or Houston, in my opinion. I just don't see it happening. Like, this might be the chalkiest region of them all at the end of the day between the one and the two seeds because of the fact that the other teams in the region have so many glaring holes. It's not close. So, that's essentially the South region as a whole. I'm going to take a quick break just to kind of give some final thoughts because I know it's been a lot of talk about the regions themselves, but holistically, I just want to put out some of the reminders for everyone just to think about how to proceed about their overall pick selection of a champion. So, more to come. Stick around after the break. We'll be right back.
Don't go anywhere. The Fantasy Throwdown Podcast will be right back after our sponsors pay the bills.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Welcome back to the show. Hope you got your popcorn ready.
All right, so we've talked at length about the individual regions, but I kind of want to go back through this again in terms of overall pool structure and how you're selecting your champion. Because, again, depending on the scoring format of your pool, selecting the champion could be the end-all be-all for your pool itself. And again, if it's the traditional format where it's 32 points to the winner and it's doubling each round, especially in a format like this where UConn still, again, odds-wise, it's going to be popular pick. But in terms of the region itself, yeah, there are upset bids, but realistically, some of the teams that are still underseeded, it's still Houston in terms of one picks from the South region or Marquette. I would say those are Final Four picks that I feel more confident about than most of the other regions. Do they have injury issues? Sure. But the deficiencies of the teams that they're going up against are more glaring than any of the opponents that they face during the regular season. That's the truth of the matter. Could they get upset? Absolutely. It's the NCAA tournament. Obviously, teams can get hot shooting, and you know there could always be upsets in that fashion. But the fact that most of these teams cannot play defense and struggle mightily defending the three-point line, more often than not, when they get into scoring slumps, defensive teams are still able to punish them more often than not. Like, that's the NCAA tournament because of the fact that once you have good ball handlers and you're going up against a bad team, you will eventually be able to get easy buckets if you push the pace. It's part of the reason why Barkley always harps on teams like Virginia. Again, had no business being in the tournament this year. They didn't even have NBA talent this year to justify the inclusion. The reason why you try to push pace, because if you have good enough guards, you can get easy enough buckets and then go back on defense and set up again. Like, that's the whole thought process when you have good ball handling. That's why I try to focus on teams that actually have ball courts that can handle the ball, because that is going to be one of your things you can hang your hat on when things, you know, eventually go south. It's the reason why I hate Purdue so much. The backcourt is not good enough for an NCAA tournament run. It just isn't. Like, if I look at the Midwest, like, in terms of over-selection, Purdue is still one of the worst picks you can make. I'm not changing my stance on that. Is the region incredibly soft? Yes. There multiple teams should have been swapped out of this region to go to the East. Like, it's not balanced enough. Yes, the East is supposed to be the strongest teams overall, but it's like they gave the East region, compared to the squads that did get seeded, it's like they gave the East region like the super soldier serum, and now you got like friggin' Captain, like multiple Captain Americas running around in the East region compared to the others. It's like your team can make a run, but like, if Gonzaga makes it to the Elite Eight, am I going to be impressed by Gonzaga this year? No, because Gonzaga was not a good team this year. But yeah, they could actually make it to the Elite Eight because this region is trash. Like, that is the truth of the matter. That could actually happen. And you have to be mindful of that. Is that, you know, even when I'm saying some of these teams are not good, because of the fact that you've got a region in the Midwest where the depth is not there, that's how you can end up in these types of situations where you're going to have to try to gauge which team is just good enough to get by and get rack you up enough points. But in terms of the quality of the teams to make a Final Four run through, like champions or what, the only team I would trust out in the Midwest is Creighton to actually win a Final Four game. Like that's how little confidence I have in this region. Even if Tennessee made it to the Final Four, I would still say that they get handled by whomever comes out of the South, because I think it'll be Houston or Marquette, and I think either of those teams handle Tennessee. Like, that's the simple fact of the matter. When it comes to the West, yeah, UNC should have a pretty smooth run, but do I love UNC in terms of overall scale, if it came down to UNC versus some of these teams in the East? No. But UNC at least can rack me up enough points from a bracket standpoint that they did their job. And, you know, that's where I kind of want folks to kind of think about this, is that at the end of the day, yes, you're trying to nail the champion. But at the same time, you need to rack up enough of your points where it's going to be harder for some of these upsets to happen to get there. Like, I would rather you focus on Grand Canyon, New Mexico, Charleston in the West, than focus on whether or not you can knock off UNC or Arizona. Could Arizona get knocked off? Yeah. But is there true value in that in a smaller pool? Not really. It's truth be told, I think you need a significantly large pool, and with large pools comes the fact that you're going to get boxed out by folks. That's why some folks are more willing to pick upsets, but I always say this with the caveat, you got to be sure about the upsets you're picking. Just picking a 5-12 upset, I mean, yeah, you can always do it, but like the reason why I'm saying Grand Canyon can actually be viable is the fact that I actually think they can go to the Sweet 16, because technically from a matchup standpoint, Alabama plays no defense, Charleston plays no defense, and St. Mary's will be giving up three-point shots for the perimeter, because they don't contest shots in the West Coast Conference either. It's like, there's value with the Grand Canyon pick. It's just that, yeah, St. Mary's could win it, but are they demonstrably better than Grand Canyon? No. They're not. It's like, doesn't matter what the seed says. Like, and then we already talked about it from the earlier podcast. New Mexico's favored over Clemson for a good reason. Clemson, this was a nonsensical seeding, but New Mexico's a better squad. It just, in terms of ball handling, like the issues Clemson has, New Mexico can punish. That's why New Mexico still even has an 11 seed. And if the public knew and followed the teams, if Clemson wasn't a big SEC school, the line would be wider than it is for New Mexico. That's just the truth of the matter. Folks are betting it, but folks are betting the Clemson side as well, because Clemson's a name. It is what it is. If New Mexico lays an egg against Clemson, so be it. But I've seen that Clemson team enough times to like to look a little sideways at like some of the seedings. Like the seedings, there's just too many discrepancies that don't make a ton of sense. But as I said, don't go crazy knocking off higher seeds outside of Purdue. That is Purdue. I'm okay with you knocking them off, because the data is showing that Purdue's incredibly favored to get to the Final Four, and I would rather bust that chalk all day every day. There are enough glaring holes in Purdue's game that why they don't work well in the NCAA tournament with a one man show. It's just too obvious. So to me, I think you focus on being negative on Purdue. You can ride through most of the higher seeds to the Elite Eight, not get too crazy outside of some double-digit seed upsets, and your bracket should be in relatively good shape. You know, again, I think a lot of folks overthink this. I kind of give you guys enough where You can be dangerous to yourselves, but, you know, again, I try to at least give you some framework as to how to think about this, because realistically, there are a lot of double-digit seeded teams that can win in the tournament this year because of how bad the seeding is, but picking them all in the same bracket, I still don't think that's the most viable strategy, because some of them will still eventually lose. So you don't have to hit every single one of them. Just hit two of them and then play multiple brackets and pick the other side. Like, you can mix and match your double-digit seeded upsets, because you can do it in the West, you can do it in the South, and then as for the Midwest, I mean, outside of South Carolina and Oregon, it's like there's just not too many dark horse teams that really make it exciting. So you can pick your poison there, but I would not get too cute. And that's where I think the biggest pitfall of all, outside of not knowing the scoring format of your league. Please look at the scoring format of your leagues. Like, if anything else, look at the scoring formats. And then look through your bracket picks once again. How many upsets are you picking? I already talked about this before. On average, you're getting 8 upsets of seeds 10 and higher. On average. Throughout the course of the tournament. So, if you're in that double-digit range already, because you picked multiple double-digit seeded upsets in each bracket across the board, you're probably way too aggressive with your picks. And you're capping your upside. So, again, just be mindful, folks. So, again, it's not the end of the world. Double-checking your brackets one last time before you finally do your actual submissions for your overall contest. And, again, it doesn't hurt to employ different strategies for different contests because, again, the pool sizes are going to be different. 1,000-person pool versus a 50-entry pool, 2 completely different approaches of how aggressive you want to get. So hopefully this helps you all. Best of luck in the tournament. And again, this is not an anti-Purdue podcast. I just, because I already saw some notes from the Purdue fans like complaining about what I said about the team. It's not anti-Purdue. It's just, when you look at the data, the style of play that they're doing is not conducive to long-term success, especially when most of the field is picking them. It's chalk, and it's bad chalk. That's what we try to point out and identify. So, for myself, enjoy March Madness. It's one of the best times of the year in terms of sports. So, have a good one, folks. We will be monitoring the tournament, of course, throughout. So, I'll give my thoughts throughout the stages. And, yeah, we'll see how well my predictions pan out. So, until next time, have a good one. Best of luck in your contests.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and all major outlets.